photos give us promise. The first cell phone picture, or first mobile picture, you guys take photos on your phones. This was the first one ever done back in 1997. A guy that was bored waiting for his baby to be born, waiting with his wife, he said, okay, I'll figure something out to where I can send a photo. And so he attached a digital camera to his flip-top phone, and that was the beginning of mobile pictures like we do today. The Lord's Supper, too, is a picture. The Lord's Supper, too, is a picture. It's, one writer said, the Lord's Supper is more than a ritual. It's a living, visual sermon that speaks without words. Every element tells a story, inviting believers to remember, to reflect, and to respond. And if you think about this, the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24, for I have received of the Lord which I also received, which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. For after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So here in our passage today, we see that the Lord is giving us proof. He's going to come back. He's going to come back. And when we celebrate the Lord's death, when we remember his death through the juice and the bread, we're showing, yes, we believe, we know that he came. It also reveals purpose. It also reveals purpose. It says that Paul said, I received of the Lord that which also was delivered unto me, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Lots of different times he could have just said, oh, I think we'll give this a miss. But he didn't. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into the world to die on the cross for our sins. It showed his purpose. When we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're understanding his purpose. As he used these emblems and he referred to the juice, he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. It shows his purpose, that he could have quit, but he did not. Also reveals his pain. Again, the same verses, and we won't read over them as much, but again, we see that his body was broken. His blood was shed. He suffered, Isaiah tells us, more than any man has ever suffered. And then the promise. The promise. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And it's wonderful that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, yes, we're looking back, we're thinking about now, but we're also thinking about the future when the Lord Jesus returns. It's a wonderful event. It's a wonderful truth, wonderful promise that he's coming again. So as we observe the Lord's Supper this morning, I hope that it's meaningful to us. One writer said this, "The Lord's Supper is a sermon you don't just hear, you participate in it. It's a sacred picture that speaks to the heart, reminding us of the past, uniting us in the present, and pointing us toward the future." And so as we observe the Lord's Supper this morning, I hope that this is much more than just another thing we do. I hope we're actually remembering the Lord's death and his soon coming. All right, I want to invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. Just a couple of things with that. I think scripturally, you do not have to be a member of Grace Baptist Church to participate in the Lord's Supper. I think scripturally, according to scripture, it would teach us that you need to be a Christian. You need to know Christ as your Savior. You need to understand what you're doing. And then the last one is that you need to be in fellowship with the Lord. I think I probably say this each time, and we'll do the Lord's Supper again in about 7 weeks. But it doesn't mean that you haven't sinned since the last time we had the Lord's Supper. It does mean that you have, to your knowledge, you right with the Lord. You have your sins confessed. And so I know in early church years, everyone that was going to partake of the scripture of the Lord's Supper, they would have a meeting with the pastor. They would have a meeting with the pastor, and he would ask them certain questions, a set of questions, and they had to answer those questions according to what the pastor thought they should say before they were allowed to partake of the Lord's Supper, because of the seriousness of it and because of the meaning. Well, I think the last few verses say, let a man so examine himself, but let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. The Lord wants us to examine ourselves, yes, but he also wants us to share in this wonderful occasion. He wants us remembering. So we're going to have a time now for us to have that time of reflection and just be like David. Search me, O Lord. Try my heart, and if there's some wicked way in me, Lord, show it to me. I'm going to forsake it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and after Becca plays through a couple of times, I'll have a prayer, and then I'll invite the fellows to come up. Father, thank you for the privilege it is to partake together as a body of believers of the Lord's Supper this morning. Thank you for the gift of salvation, for the high cost of our sin, the price that was paid through the death of your Son. Thank you for the great salvation that we have in Christ. As we look back, it's such a wonderful privilege and honor and to be able to look back and to remember his death, to remember that he died on the cross for our ungodliness, our sins, our shortcomings. So thankful, Father, this morning that we now have boldness to come before you to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We thank you that we can confess our sins and that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Father, that we have the Lord Jesus with us each day and every day, all the time, whether we feel his presence or not. And Father, as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I pray that we would have a renewed remembrance and vigor about us and thankfulness for the salvation that we have in Christ. Thank you for the great price that was paid willingly because of your love for us. We thank you, Father, for this time, and we pray that you would be glorified in our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper now. So if you've never been here during the Lord's Supper, I know churches do things many ways, but we will we'll have our Bible reading. We've already done that. We'll look at a little bit of a Bible verse, and then I'll ask the fellows to pass out the bread, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll all partake together. And so we'll do that with the bread and then the juice. So the point being, we all partake together, and that way we're just doing it uniform. Okay? Verse 23 says of 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." I'll ask the fellows to come forward now and distribute the bread, which represents our Lord's broken body. And by the way, not one bone of his was a broken. It was he gave his life for us. Thank you. Mr. Menorah, would you give thanks for our Lord's body? When he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's remember our Lord's broken body together. After the same manner, also he took the cup. This time the fellows will pass out the juice, which represents our Lord's shed blood. Would you give thanks for his shed blood? After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember our Lord's shed blood together. Afterwards, they sang a hymn. So at this time, we'll have a hymn while the fellows take up the cups.
Thank you, everyone. The song we're going to do now is number 113, "The Old Rugged Cross." And can we do the first three verses of that, please?
the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Wonderful. We'll have the announcements and we'll follow that with the offering.
Very good morning to you all once again. Just a few announcements I'll bring to your attention this morning. We will be having a baptism service to follow the morning service, and that will be at 35 Eaton Circle in Kerwin, beginning at 12:30 p.m., so pretty promptly after this morning service, at 35 Eaton Circle for anyone that was thinking of attending. I would encourage you to do so. It's been a while since the church has had a baptism. This evening at 5:30 p.m. we will be having the quarterly business meeting for the church. On Wednesday the 18th of February from 6 to 8 p.m. we'll be having men's Bible study. That's this coming Wednesday. And please do remember, if you have any prayer requests that you'd like to make mention of here in the morning service, please either text it to the pastor or place the request in the prayer box on the back table. And with that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll receive our offering after this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you that we could partake of the Lord's Supper and remember why it is, Lord, that we as people living in Australia in 2026 look back to an event that happened 2,000 years ago in a different continent, in Jerusalem, on a rugged hill. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross, not just for the sins of the people of that time, but for our sins, all of the handwriting of requirements of your law that was contrary to us because we fell short of it. You put it to the side, you laid it, nailed it to the cross. The judgment that was due to us fell on his head instead. And Father, you ask that each one in response to that would come to Christ by faith to receive that salvation as a little child. Thank you for calling each one of us that are your children today. Thank you for opening our eyes to see that truth, to see our need for a Savior. And Lord, the sacrifice of Christ is not only necessary, is not only sufficient, but necessary for salvation, for you've given no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. And Lord, I pray that if there are any this morning that do not know your Son, that you would open their eyes to their need for a Savior, to have their sins forgiven, that you would grant them faith, believing faith, faith to turn from their sins and to trust in the salvation that was provided through Christ. Pray for those who are sick in the church, Lord, that you would also minister to each one according to their need, undertake for them. Father, we want to give you glory and honor and power in this service. We ask that you would be with the pastor as he brings your word again later, that you would grant him the grace and the wisdom in his speech, that you would be with him, that it wouldn't be him speaking, but you speaking through him. Minister to the hearts of your people. Call those who do not know you to yourself. And we pray for the offering that's going to be given. Pray that those who are giving would do so joyfully, out of a cheerful heart, and that what is given might be used for the advancement of your kingdom and your glory. For we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you very much, everyone. Our final hymn before the message today is number 441, Love Lifted Me. If you could all stand, we're just going to do one verse, and we'll follow that by this morning's message.
Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, everyone. You may be seated. Children, you may now be dismissed, and we'll have the message. Thank you.
Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 this morning. Acts chapter 8. Is it really 10:25? It's 10:50. All right. Acts chapter 8 this morning. We are not having good luck with that clock back there. We have gone through several clocks. Acts chapter 8 today. We have three people getting baptized, and that's sort of the flow of things. You go a little bit without any baptisms, and then you have several. We have three people being baptized today, and so I'm excited about that. May I ask, if you're planning to come, that you not show up at 12:45, that you not show up at 12:40, or 12:35, or 12:32, or 12:31, but that you be early, if anything, okay? So, because we really are going to try to start at 12:30, and if you get lost on the way there, if you'll call me, I'll have my phone with me, but if you get lost on the way there, please let me know. But we are planning to start at 12:30. So I'm excited about that, and we'll be praying for those being baptized. Thank you. We'll have a more official note next week, but thank you for the gracious gift you gave to us last week in the fellowship lunch. We so appreciate that. And today actually marks the 25 years that I kidded my wife, we skipped Valentine's Day in the air 25 years ago, so I didn't have to buy her a Valentine's gift. And so that was my joke to her 25 years ago today. And so, but thank you, and we very much love you and appreciate our church family. Acts chapter 8 today is we're going to start, and thankfully we've already had this Bible reading done for us. And baptism, we've been looking at pictures this morning. Baptism is also a picture. Now we do the word baptism, the Greek word means to immerse. It means to immerse, to dip, and that is part of the reason why we do baptism by immersion. And you read New Testament accounts that they went down into the water, and then they came back up. And so the picture of baptism, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And the idea is absolutely not. He says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So he's hitting some truths here. How are we that are dead to sin live any longer to sin? "Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So this afternoon, with each of the gentlemen, that there are three fellows today, with each of the fellows that we will be baptizing, we'll hold our nose, they'll hold their nose, and I'll say something like this: in obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus, and upon your profession of faith, I have them in my hand. I now baptize you, my brother or sister, brothers today, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then I say, we are buried with the Lord in believer's baptism. That's showing that we understand that it was our sins that took his life. We are buried with him in believer's baptism. Now I'll leave them under there. I'll let all of them get wet I've told them all three, I think. I'm going to make sure all of you is wet. And then I say, we're buried with him in believers' baptism, and then we're raised to walk in newness of life. That picture. That picture. And we've focused on this too, that if anyone gets baptized and they did not know Christ as Savior before they were baptized, then they still don't know Christ as Savior after they're baptized. Baptism does not convert us. It's a picture. Just like I have some very, 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 very valuable pictures, but they're not the same thing as the real thing. And so baptism is a picture. Baptism is one of those things whereby others can know that we are believers. And this morning, I want to talk to you briefly. I want to talk to you about that. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Just some different things that either we can know that we're his children, or that other people know that we are his children. And so, first of all, the proclamation of baptism, what does it proclaim? Well, in our Bible verses that were read for us, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Isaiah, and he believed that he was a sinner. He believed in Jesus. And he says, what does hinder me? What's keeping me from being baptized? How can I identify with this Savior? How can I be baptized? And he said, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So it proclaims, it's an outward showing of what's going on in our side. We've believed on the Lord. Verse 37 says, you believe and then be baptized. And he said, I believe. So one thing that others can know that we are believers are because of baptism. It is a wonderful, when those three are getting baptized today, they are saying publicly to the world, I am a follower of Christ. I am a Christian. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How can other people know that we are believers? Because of the love that we show one another. In fact, the book of 1 John, now that was in the Gospel of John, the book of 1 John talks about how that if we say that we love God and we hate our brother, or we hate someone else, or we treat other people terribly, how can you love whom you've not seen if you're not even loving the people you do see? And so one of the ways that we show others that we believe is by loving others. Another way is through our actions. Now, we're in no way saved by works. In no way does anyone go to heaven because they're good, or because they do more good works than someone else. That'll never happen. But Matthew says to us that you can know people by their fruits. You can know them by who they are. And it says, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. 1 John 2:1 says, "Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." If serving the Lord and following him, and none of us do it perfectly, but if we really don't care anything about serving God or pleasing God with our lives, I reckon we really should check up. That's something that we should check up. Or if we really don't have any interest to know anything about God, we should check our hearts. We first, by our love, or actually proclamation of the baptism, our works, our love, and then if we have the Spirit of Christ. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you are a believer this morning, you have the Holy Spirit living within your heart. And he is at work in your heart, and that's where he abides. Ephesians calls it the down payment. God's putting his little bit of him in you until he takes you to glory with him. This goes back to the hating. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. If a man say that I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother who hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath? So back to the not loving and hating. And then it is a proclamation. It is our, when we're baptized, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." We are baptized because that's what the Lord tells us to do. We are identified with him through baptism. And it says, teaching them to observe, the next verses please, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so he wants us to let others know that we know Christ as Savior. And then the promise of baptism, we come up short here. The promise of baptism is basically, you know what? When these guys get baptized today, they already have a desire to please the Lord. They already have a desire to show others that who Christ is. But they want to be his disciples. They want to be his learners. And really, as we are baptized, as each of these three are baptized, they are saying, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to learn from him. And I've committed my life to him, to pleasing him. So we're saying, it's that commitment. Lord, I'm outwardly committing to you what I've already done in my heart. And so this morning, as we have a baptism service, it's one of the ways in which we can let others know that we are believers. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Does he live in your heart? And then secondly, if you are a Christian this morning, have you been scripturally baptized? Have you been baptized? And if not, would you pray about it? Why not? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your care, your concern, and Lord, for these scriptures about baptism. Now I pray, Father, that as we do have our baptism service in just a little while, that you would speak to hearts. Lord, encourage these guys that are being baptized. Thank you for their desire to please you, their desire to trust you, their desire to obey you. And I pray that you would grant them each one grace to grow and to be more like Christ each day. Help us as a church family to be behind them, to love them, to care for them, and to encourage them. We pray that for any today that do not know Christ as Savior, that you would, Father, help them to see their need and that they would come to know you as Savior. Lord, we are grateful for your goodness and pray that you would speak to our hearts this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to finish our message this morning with one verse of trust and obey. And really, that's what being baptized or observing the Lord's Supper or just doing what the Lord has told us to do. Or is there something else the Lord's talking to you that you need to trust him and obey him about? All right, Jared, if you would come.
Thank you, everyone. It's number 261. If you can stand, and we'll just do the first verse and chorus of Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you very much, everyone. God bless you all. You're now dismissed into God's loving care.